The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came down with the 12 apostles and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. "In God we trust." It's an inscription we find on money. It's right there in the back. So you always find "In God we trust" on money. And apparently, I heard, if you are prepared to go pick up in person your new Tennessee license plates number, then you can request one that has this inscription on it at no extra charge. It's really like on top of the three stars of Tennessee. So there you go, you have it. But I assure you, this is not an ad for the DMV or the Federal Bank Reserve. But I was intrigued. It got me thinking, because it's not easy to discover what we truly rely on unless we are tested to the core. Is our trust really in God? It is said that tough times have a way of bringing us who someone truly is. And sometimes we discover a side of us we didn't know that we had when our character is tested. And the truth is, our response quickly demonstrates who we rely on the most. Will it be God, or will it be my savings account, or my parents, or my friend? Who will it be? In the early days of the civil war in Rwanda, most people had to do a quick mental checklist. How will we get evacuated if it comes to that? How much gas we will need for our car? How much cash do we have on us? And all that went through the window as soon as the bombs started falling near. You had to run without your car, without your diploma, without a change of underwear, no clothes, just what you have on. And you just had to run away. Not enough money. And in any case, what does it mean, enough money? What does it mean? Because you're going to go out in the next week, this won't be any, it won't be necessary, because it's about change. You don't have, nobody's going to accept money. So it's, you might have $50,000, but it won't buy anything. Because if you have salt, they're going to give you anything else that you need at that point, because it's wartime. And you discover in those times how little we know about the things we have come to place our trust in. And you always think, "Oh gosh, I'm going to die. I don't have money." It's like, no, you're not going to die. And there are people along the side of the road who kept giving us food oh, they could see that you are hungry and they give you some food. And you realize, where do we put our priorities? And you start thinking. And you realize at that point that there is no plan A or plan B, and there is only total desperation and survival mode. God is familiar with these kinds of situations because the prophet Jeremiah spoke of trust in God. He says, those who trust in the Lord shall be like a tree planted near water, meaning they shall be stable, they shall be victorious, they shall be confident, they shall be blessed. He also noted how unlucky are those whose trust or whose heart is in everything else, like in people or in material things. So I'm hoping that today we would examine our hearts and search to know if truly our trust is in God. And it's almost hopeless to lie about what we rely on. Think about when you are frightened. Let's say there's a lightning, thunder, boom, and you know, kind of scare you a little bit. And some people, they cry out and mention someone else, Jesus, or someone will say, my mother. You know, some people, they have different ways of responding when something scares them. Or some other people, they just get ready. Are you going to fight, you know, when you get scared? But that can be telling, but it doesn't really mean that you don't trust God. But there are, however, other things that can indicate where our loyalty and reliance truly lies. Luke's gospel shows it to us through the Sermon on the Plain. And this is Jesus looking at the poor, and basically it was his disciples and many other people, a crowd of people who were poor, and he looks at them and he says, blessed are you, the poor, the hungry, and those of you who are weeping now. It is as if he was saying to them, your desperation and your cry I have heard, though you reached out to me. I hear you. I understand your pain. And I know you don't have plan A or plan B. I understand. I've been there myself before. I only have my Father in heaven. So you're so open to the kingdom of God. And so behold, the kingdom of God is open to you. But even though the gospel is good news to the poor, they still have to appropriate for themselves these promises of God and live by it. And then he turns to the rich here. And he tells them, woe to you. I'm sorry, not you. Not you. But the really issue here is that the rich in those ancient Mediterranean world, it's the system of value is the system of honor and shame. So it's not really about the possessions that you have, but it's about the power and honor and social status, which can actually land us in big trouble in the end. And so I'm imagining Jesus facing the other group with some social status and pompous honor in society, as if it was as if Jesus were saying to them, you have already found your comfort in every area of your life, in food, in all kinds of pleasure. But here, Jeremiah is really targeting something that is also important, not only for his audience, but also in Jesus' time, our hearts. That's where lie our problem. He says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really know how bad it is? And this is the New Living Translation. I am convinced that it is trying to tell us we need to conquer our heart for God. Our heart is capable of good and bad things. And so I am an eyewitness of how destructive humans can be. We may not think of it, but it is easy for our hearts to fall into the enemy's trap. And the enemy is very crafty, using all kinds of ways to distract us with all kinds of current contemporary issues. So I don't even have to hunt them from far. Look at the first page of any newspaper or the news. It's just the news goes on, all kinds of different issues, contemporary issues, and they are all competing for your attention, and they are saying, you need to make me your passion number one, and this particular contemporary issue is taking, you need to take me and make me your number one issue for you. So when you meet your friends, that's the only thing you need to talk about, this particular issue, this particular cause. We need to win, our cause need to win, and we all got divided here because the enemy is very crafty, and he knows by when we are divided in this issue, and you are on this issue, and you are on that issue, and we are very passionate about our issues, and then we are forgetting about the power of Christ's call on our lives. What is it that God has called you to do? What is it that God has given in your heart to give to the world, that Christ lives in you? And so you have a gift to give. And so we are all divided, and the devil is, ha, 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 I got where I want them. This is very dangerous for us. And Bishop Barron puts it in better words than I could. And he says, blessed are you, or lucky are you, if you are not addicted to material things or to feelings of pleasure or to social status and fame. And I know fame pays, isn't it? In our country here, fame pays, and it's very nice and there, and it's easy for us to get distracted. But don't be. Have deeper roots in Jesus Christ, who is the source of life. And no wonder Jeremiah used this imagery of Psalm 1 that depict a tree planted near the water. Basically, what he's saying is this tree, or this heart, if you like, will have stronger and healthy roots because there is a stream going around there. So it's always fed and it's always fine in all season, whether it's a drought or whether it's a rain season. There will always be fruits, and there is no panic or a need to have plan A or plan B, because there is confidence in God's protection. So, St. Andrews, you were called to be a place of healing for people around you. You are that place of healing. So don't let anything around you distract you from your calling. So be blessed forever and ever. Amen.